Like, it was 21.4% say sure, go ahead, and 76.6% say you should not play it with two players. And they say it's best with four players.
Hello, and welcome to Board Games or Board Games, a podcast where my husband tries to keep my attention long enough to play board games, and then I make him record podcasts about it. I'm Nina.
I'm Philip.
And we're back. Welcome back, everyone. It was a rough few months for us in our household. So we're going to mark this as season two. And hopefully we'll get back into the routine and have a more consistent output for you. We just had lots of things come up in the last few months, but we are hopefully back in a normal time-ish for now. So today we are going to talk about Chicago Express. And since it's been a little while since we recorded, if you're new for some reason, basically the point of this podcast is for us to play all the games that we have and spend some time together. And Philip has always been really into board games, and I really only started playing anything more than Sorry when I met him. And so this is me trying to see what I actually like in some ways. So, Philip, do you want to tell us a little bit about Chicago Express?
Sure. So, I've actually owned this game for a very long time. I bought it very cheaply at a, I don't know, miniature market or something. For like $5, added it into another group. Anyway. So, we finally got to play it. It is a 2007 game designed by Harry Wu and published in the States, at least, by Queen Games, with art by Michael Menzel. So Chicago Express is an economic/trains game where each player acts as a wealthy investor in up to five railroad companies as they expand westward from the east coast of the late 1800s America. So players will bid against one another for shares of the companies and then kind of control the actions of those companies, but it's key that to understand that you're not actually playing as one of the railroad companies themselves. So players are going to compete to maximize their investment return by collecting the biggest return on their investments through dividends and maximizing the income of the companies that they control. And money in this game is both a resource and the victory points, because the player with the most at the end of the game wins. And that's really brief synopsis of Chicago Express.
Yeah. And so I usually talk about the time it actually takes, because the boxes lie.
Which it says an hour in this case.
It does say an hour. I think it probably total was about 2 hours. But since we hadn't played it before, usually take that into consideration. So it took us probably about 30 minutes to set it up and read through all of the instructions, and then maybe an hour and a half to play.
Yeah, so I could see this going an hour.
I think once you know how to play, it can go pretty quick. We also, this was our first time trying to play a game while our children were awake. So that might have factored into the time frame just a little bit as well.
Yeah.
At the end, we can tell our final monies. So Philip had $150 and I had $163. And we really have no idea if that's like the amount you're really supposed to have or not. We were having a hard time figuring out, because
you do a lot of arithmetic in this game.
Yeah. And well, not just that, but so part of it is your trains can go to Chicago basically. And we didn't get to Chicago. And so we don't know, like, okay, if you do get to Chicago, then how does that change it? Or was there some weird mechanical reason why we, I don't know, mechanical might not be the right word, but something we were doing to where we weren't getting there. I don't know. Anyway.
I wasn't really thinking that much about it.
Are there, okay, well, I guess it was just me.
I don't know.
But I was just like, are there other factors in the game we were missing or something that, you know, I don't know. Anyway, so it was interesting because Philip had a majority share of the Red Railroad. I don't remember what the names were.
Yeah, it's red, blue, green, yellow.
And then I ended up getting majority share of the Blue Railroad. Partly, I think, Philip sort of gave up when we were bidding.
Could have run the cost up, maybe. I don't know if I could have won, but...
But anyway, so... And then the other two we were even on. So it was kind of interesting. And when we got close to the end, we could tell that only one of... Because he was kind of running the red and I was running the blue to Chicago. But when we got to the end, we realized that if only if both of us, because we both had smaller shares in each other's railroads, so we could have moved one of the trains to Chicago, but neither of us were willing to give up that extra dividends to the other person. So we didn't get to Chicago at all, which also means that Wabash...
Oh, yeah.
Never opened, because in the instructions the whole time you're reading it, there's all these little bits about Wabash or
Fifth Company that comes out halfway through the game.
Yeah, so if maybe you get to Chicago, it opens and you can buy shares of that one as well, but we never got to Wabash. What else?
Yeah, I don't know. So I like the game okay. I would not recommend it for two players. I haven't played a game like this. There's this whole subgenre of board games, and some people play only them, called 18XX games. I've never played one, but my understanding is that they're kind of a much more involved version of this, where you play as an investor and you don't control companies, but you do kind of control the actions of, or rather, you don't play as companies, but you control the actions of those companies. And I kind of like the idea of it. The whole... no luck, like there's no randomness, that everyone's got the same information that everyone else does, everyone's got the same opportunities as everyone else, so you start out with the same money, you aren't given like a starting place. It's just dependent on how the first auction goes, which is fully up to you, I guess. So yeah, I thought it was interesting. Again, not recommended with two, because I could very conceivably have had controlling interest in the two most valuable in our game companies, and at pretty early on, in which case the game's basically over, it seemed like. I mean, whereas I don't see that happening with more players nearly as easily. What Board Game Geek says, like, four is the best, and I can definitely see that.
Because basically, if you have even shares of each company, but then one person has majority of share of the other company, then they're automatically winning because they're getting extra dividends and you get the same on everything else.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why Philip sort of gave up in that one auction, so that I would have majority share of one of them, just so that...
It would be a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, because otherwise, like, why would I even keep playing, like, basically?
And I can't see that happening with that with more players, so...
I guess, like, the only other thing we could have... Like, if you had taken it, I could have opened another auction on a different company and tried to get extra shares in that one. But at that point, like, those two railroads were already...
Yeah,
I think further along.
Yeah, and then I would have had two companies, and you would have had to fight me for the other two as well. So, yeah.
But, I mean, I thought when we were kind of reading through it that it was going to be more complicated than it really was. It wasn't really that complicated. Like, what was the... You said the weight was like 2.7 or something?
2.78 out of 5, which is little bit above medium, so...
Yeah, like maybe, I guess.
Like heavier than like Pandemic or something like that, but...
I wouldn't even say that really.
No, I would, but
But one thing I did like about it, and how the money is how you win, like that just for my brain makes it so simple, because it's like all I need to focus on is money.
It's also super gross, but no, I'm just kidding. But
there's no like, oh, I sneaky had all these points over here because I secretly had this castle with all this river or whatever. Like, it's just like, no, I'm getting this much money every time and you're getting this much money every time and blah, blah, blah. So it just like, you know where you are kind of as you play because you can see whatever.
Yeah, and there's only money to worry about. There's no additional resources.
Exactly. You don't have to be like, oh, but I still, I mean, you do have to like move your railroad, obviously, and like you can build on, I forget what it's called, you can develop cities and stuff to get extra income in your dividends. But
yeah, we didn't really talk about the actions you do. So basically you only have three actions. You can, number one, expand a rail line of a company, which costs a certain amount based on the tile, and the money for that comes out of the train, out of the railroad company. Number two, you can develop, which is kind of just a free action. You put a house down on a tile where a railroad company is and they get additional income, the railroad company does. And number three, you can start an auction for a share of a company, that's available. And, so that's it. Like, it's, they're not very, and the auctions are pretty straightforward. It's just used, whoever starts the auction determines the minimum bid, and then it just circles around going back and forth. And whoever wins pays that much and gets the share.
And yeah.
Yeah. So it's a pretty, there's a lot going on, but also there's not. It's pretty.
I think I was hesitant in the beginning because it was like, oh, shares and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know any, like in real life, I don't know anything about any of that stuff. I'm just like money in the bank and then that's all. Philip had to convince me to have like a retirement account. So, so I was kind of like, oh, I don't know about bidding and all of that, but it ended up being fun. And like, even the bidding was kind of fun. And I do think part of that is just because it was just us and like, I knew Philip wasn't going to like totally screw me over, even though I did it to him, kind of made him pay a bunch of money for one of them. Yeah. And so probably I would get more annoyed if there were four people bidding, maybe. But yeah, it was simple. I had fun playing.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed this more than I was expecting to. It looks really dry and it is, but it's also fun. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Like, I can't see myself enjoying too many economics games, but I did like this one.
Definitely agree that it would be better with more players, though, just because the way the shares even out with just two people, like, when you have three or four people, it just, that won't happen, basically. Yeah. So it'll just be a more dynamic.
And I can see auctions being more interesting, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah. You're not just like 12, 13, 14. But
yeah.
What else did I like? I liked, the other place we never went was Detroit. I wrote that down too, because Detroit like develops automatically. So if you go there, you get extra income points, but we didn't go there either. This is what I was trying to say before. It was like, basically our trains were just going straight across the board, which is fine because you're trying to get to Chicago. But the fact that neither of us could get to Chicago, and then also like, there's so many other cities you can't discover, just makes me wonder like how you ever would get there, because even if you have four players, that's, you know, like, I guess some of you might have the same vested interest in the same company, so you're both pushing it forward, but you only get five locomotive things each round.
Yeah, so, across all players.
Yeah, so it's like, it doesn't really make sense to me how, unless you're really working together, you would get all the way across. Or why you would ever go to the cities that are like, I mean, I guess if you're just like, I'm just not even going to try for Chicago, then you can go to some of those other cities. But anyway. I was wondering if there was an expansion. Did you see if there was any expansions?
There are, yeah.
Okay, that might be. Maybe you can get further with those.
Just trying to see how much it is on Amazon, but it doesn't look like they have it. But I'm pretty sure you can get this for like less $20 or maybe even less. And I'd say that's a pretty good value for the cost.
Mm-hmm. I also just like the visual of trains. Like, going across the board. Like, it just kind of looks cool. So, I don't know. Philip says there's other train games. Maybe I should try those. And I do think this is really approachable. So, like we said, it's fairly simple. So, if you're kind of interested in those, whatever Philip said, games.
18XX.
This is probably a good, like, introductory thing that you can kind of see if you really like it, you know, because it's not a huge time investment.
It does make me interested in playing some other railroad games. I don't think I'll ever get into the 18XX games, but there are just lots of other ones that aren't quite that heavy. That's probably about all I'd say. I can see that this definitely, I can see this having a lot of replayability if you like it. You know, you see everything, but that you can definitely refine your skills and have different techniques and strategies. Mm-hmm. I would definitely see this having a lot of replayability if you've got the group that enjoys it.
Especially if you have
more than one other person. The components they're fine. The railroad little meeples are kind of cute, and the money is kind of a pain to deal with, but I can't see how they could have done it better. You might want to keep track on a phone or something. That might be a little better. Just, I don't know. Otherwise the board and the art are serviceable and just fine. Nothing amazing, but not bad.
Having a calculator might be helpful, because you have to do a lot of division that doesn't divide evenly.
Yeah.
You're like, what is 13 divided by 4?
Yeah. And I think that's all I have to say about it.
Mm-hmm. But, okay, so I forget what our rating system we left it
I
as.
I have no idea.
I think you were just rating it 1 to 5, and then I was rating it by how bored I was while we played.
Except, like, our scales were opposite or something stupid. I'd actually give this one a 4, which surprises me, honestly. I'd say 4 out of 5.
Yeah, and I would say 2 on the boredom scale.
You've got to just switch your scale.
But it's like, the more it is, the more bored I am, which makes sense to me, because it's the higher number is more bored, right?
You could just say more interested.
But that's not exactly what I'm
trying
to say, because
anyway,
mm-hmm. I wasn't that bored.
So basically we gave it identical ratings.
It was actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
And we were able to play it with our kids kind of yelling and running around in the background, which is a plus. We'll see if that happens again. Okay. So I usually have a bonus segment. We did get some new games for Christmas for our kids. So we have a few more we can talk about now. Kids games, which is what we do our bonus segment on. So this week I'm going to talk a little bit about Bluey the Shadowlands board game, which have you actually played it?
I did not play that.
Okay.
No.
I played it a couple times with our little, who's 3 now, and it's not great, which is kind of sad.
I think I was trying to set it up and I was having the same impression.
So we love Bluey like so much, but the actual way the board goes together, it basically has a rotating piece that goes underneath the board, which is difficult to actually put in. Like, it doesn't fit super well and it doesn't turn super well. So like, even for our 3-year-old, like, she had a little bit of a hard time turning it, or at least just like turning it just one, which is what you're supposed to do. So we just turned it however many it went. But basically you're just, if you're familiar at all with Bluey and you know the Shadowlands game, they play where they have to stay out of the sun. So they go through the shadows of the clouds and stuff. That's all it is. It's Bluey and Bingo and 2 of their friends, and you basically are just going around a board and trying to avoid the sun. So basically the rotating piece on the board like rotates certain spaces to be either sun or cloud. So you want it to be cloud in order to go over it. And that's pretty much all there is to it. Like, basically you just spin a spinner until you get to the end. So it's not super exciting. It's like the palm tree. Like, it's like a palm tree kind of thing that you spin, which is cute. But again, it doesn't work that well. And it's, yeah. I mean, it is like for toddlers, I guess. So, you know, our 3-year-old kind of sort of had fun with it. She could get it, you know. But yeah, it's pretty. It's kind of boring. Yeah, I know. It's a bummer because, again, we love Bluey. We support Bluey. We buy all the Bluey things. So yeah, I guess that's all. Any other things you want to talk about?
No, I was just gonna say that I've been trying to find Chicago Express for sale anywhere, and it might just be out of print. So this might be a real good review that's useful.
Something you can't get. Well, if you have it and it's been sitting on your shelf for 15 years, I guess it's not that old, but
yeah, it's. Anyway, so.
It's worth taking out of the saran wrap, which is what we just did today. Maybe you can find it on eBay.
Yeah, I think I bought it from clearance on the site, so that's maybe why. Anyway.
Oh, bummer.
You can buy it on eBay or BoardGameGeek if you're super interested.
There you go. You can find it somewhere, I'm sure.
I'm honestly surprised. This seems like a game that would be reprinted, so I wouldn't be surprised if that does happen eventually.
Yeah.
But.
Interesting. Well, there you have it. We do have a Twitter and Instagram, which I have been blank for the past few months, but hopefully I'll get back to that as well. And those are just at BoardOrBoardPod, B-O-A-R-D or B-O-R-E-D pod. We also do have a email. So if you want to email us and tell us just, you know, how excited you are that we're back and you're like so ready for more episodes, feel free to email us. At boardpod@gmail.com. So BOARD or BORED at gmail.com. That is us. And I guess that is what we will leave you with for today. We promise we'll be back in less than 3 months this time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Keep on playing. No. That's what we say every 5 episodes.
Yep. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.